judgment by sunlight. You know, it's a Greek word, but that's exactly what it means. And Paul used it on occasion, not all that much, but some. And Peter used it on one occasion. It has both a mental, spiritual, and a legalistic meaning. It means to judge by sunlight. That means open her up, let the sun shine in, the sun rays. And if it stinks, it stinks. Okay? If it's good, it's good. And legalistically, it even gives the Christian the right to sue by law if they're non-Christian. If they're Christian, you always try to arbitrate first. And then if that doesn't work, lay it to them. All right? So I thought that would be a good subject today. It's really gentle, and it's just perfect for understanding what you're supposed to preach and what, when you go to hear preaching, should be preached. Okay? And the whole thing, what Paul declares, should be opened up and judged by sunlight. And of course, Christ is that light. Okay? It's got to be judged by His Word. And always judge people by what you personally know of them. Don't listen to garbage. Okay? Garbage, if you mess with it, what happens? You get it all over you. And pretty soon, you don't know where the smell's coming from. It could even be you if you mess with it too much. You don't have to. You open her up, let the sun shine in, and Satan, the prince of darkness, has no choice but to run. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And let's pick it up with verse 9, if we may. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 1, and this would be right after Ephesians, right after Galatians, right after Corinthians. Just thumb her right in there, chapter 1, verse 9, and here we go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That means sense or insight. That your sense grows, that your insight grows, that you're able to discern. That's important. Don't let anyone make a fool out of you. And look at facts and go by facts. Because that's all that's necessary to know truth. Verse 10, that you may approve, that means test, that you may test or approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I want you to underline in your mind or in your Bible, whichever you prefer, the word sincere. And in the Greek, the word is alakrines, alakrines, the word sincere. And what it is two Greek words, and it comes from sun rays and judgment. What it's saying is open things up and let the sun shine in. And hang on to that until Christ Himself returns, for He is that light. And He's going to shine on it seven times brighter when He gets here. So that's what you go by. Otherwise, guess what? You're a reed shaken in the wind. You hear this one minute and that one. Go by what you know for facts. Basically, we're going to be talking about preaching God's Word, because that's what the subject is here. How in the world would we just, you know, using common sense and getting a little sense, if someone was teaching God's Word, what should they be teaching? God's Word. A bunch of malarkey? A bunch of predictions by man when we have the prophets of the Scriptures? a bunch of nonsense dreamed up by people, or do we stick to God's word? You either are a follower of God or man. You have to make the choice, and that's why he says, you open up with sincerity that is taught, and let the sunshine judge it. If it doesn't hold water, guess what? Pour it out. I mean, just don't be bothered with it. You're too big for that. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ, and nonsense won't fit your boot, okay? And there's other things you're supposed to do with your boot anyway. So having said that, remember, this word will be translated sincere, sincerely, or even pure as we go through today's study. But it still is the same Greek word, alakrines, which means let the sunshine judge it. And that's it. That's what Paul wants you to do in this case, all right? Test it, he says. Approve it. Open it up. Let the sun shine in and hang on that. Don't change that till the day Christ returns. Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Where do the fruits of righteousness come from? By Jesus Christ. Unto the glory and praise of God. You either follow God or you follow something else. Don't play church. Don't ever, you know, you just need yourself and the Word of God, our Father. And you got it made, okay? There's nobody going to deceive you if you learn to open it up and let the sun shine in, because evilness cannot work. You know, turn the light on and watch the cockroaches run, okay? Does that say it pretty good? They're gone, all right? And then you have to know how to handle cockroaches, too. But stick to the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Okay? Verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, he said, now get a hold of this and let this sink in, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I mean, he's in jail. He's in prison. He's locked up. Do you know why? For teaching Christ. That's nothing to be ashamed of, all right? And he wasn't certainly apologizing for it. But he said, it has kind of, all things work to good for those that love the Lord, okay? And here, they know all over the palace that he's a teacher of Jesus Christ. And guess what? They slip in at night trying to get him to preach to them. I mean, the word goes on, and even this letter came from prison. It didn't bother him, because he opened up the truth and let the sun light judge it. Okay? You do the same. Verse 13. So that the bounds, that's to say my imprisonment, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the other places. It's well known. They know why I'm here. It's not for ripping somebody off. It's not for lying about somebody. It's not for trying to knock somebody down. It's for absolutely unadulterated. Open her up. Let the sun shine on the Word of God, teaching it, preaching it exactly that way. That's what got him there, okay? 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Without fear of what? Consequences. Why? If you open it up and let the sunlight judge it, you got nothing to fear or nothing to worry about, because right always wins. It always does. There's a reason for that. Your Heavenly Father sees to it. He takes care of business when you yourself stick with Him. don't mess with Satan. Don't give him the time of day in your life or in your family, okay? It doesn't matter. Verse 15. Some indeed preach, here we go, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. You got some people that preach Christ of envy and strife, usually for their own benefit, usually to get themselves ahead, right? Or to try to make it harder on Paul.
Well, you don't understand, boys. Paul's down there in jail. You've always got me. I'm ready.
Well, they never wrote any gospels. God didn't use them. So they didn't cause him too much trouble, okay? But the important thing is there are those that carry you on with goodwill. That's what's important. Verse 16. The one preach Christ of contention. They try to gall me. Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They want my bonds, my chains to gall me. They want to make it hard on me. Do you ever worry about little ants? That's all they amount to, little ants. I think that's what they call them. They're highly fond of sugar. All you have to do is give them just enough sugar to bait them and let God get rid of them, all right? They preach contention. You know, we have an enemy. And that enemy is Satan and his children. Don't ever pick on each other. Okay? Why? Because you're God's children. And God loves you. If anything, pray for each other. And pray for some miserable little old ant that hadn't got enough sense to open up and let sunshine come in and get on an envious ego trip and try to hurt a family. Don't worry, God will take care of it. If you're doing the right thing, you don't have anything to worry about. It's just like as it was written in the last chapter of Mark, you see to it that you can pick up snakes and they can't bite you. What does that mean? That means that you have power over Satan himself. If he tries to come into your family, you can throw him out. And it says also that you can drink poison. That's a figure of speech that means your character will stand the test. Always see to it. It don't matter what they say about you as long as your character will stand the test. And don't worry about the ants. Okay? They never amount to a hill of beans. They're here today, gone tomorrow. You don't have to worry about them, all right? That goes for anything you do in your life in relationship with the teaching or the witnessing of the Word of Jesus Christ. You preach Him as it is written, not out of some book other than the Bible. Never apologize for the Word of God. Like it, lump it, or whatever. Teach it. And preach it of goodwill, knowing it's going to increase, edify, and bring blessings to people, and it will strengthen your soul. Okay? You don't have to worry about it. That's just the way our Father handles things. I lost my place. Okay. 16. He said they just do that to gall me. Did it? Not really. It didn't bother him one iota. Let's go on with verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. They know why I'm in here and in jail. They know why I'm bound. But it's for teaching the defense of the gospel. That's to say the good news. That's to say the word of Jesus Christ. Never apologize. You might learn a little lesson from this also. I just really would like to take the word forward. Now, I'd really like to teach the word, and I'd like to help people and so forth. I don't know how thick is your skin. What'd they do to Paul? They threw him in jail. Okay? That's not to say they're going to you, but don't worry. Satan has a way of really trying to make it rough on you, and if you listen to him, he will. But you don't have to. He's afraid of you. Okay? Absolutely afraid of you. Alacrimis. Open it up and let the sunshine judge it, and that's that. That's the end of the story. You don't have to worry about a thing in your life. You follow Christ's plan, and what's he going to do for you? He's going to bless you. He's going to bless your family. And the knowledge and the sincerity, this is why he said, come to the acknowledgement, that means knowledge, of the word, whereby you know how to make things work according to God's plan. When you please him, he's going to please you. Okay. I guess what I'm trying to say here and what Paul is trying to say, don't let people bother you. Don't waste your time with them. That is to say, that are truly trying to hurt you. You don't have to worry about it. Open it up and let the sun shine in, and it will wilt their little selves, okay? They can't handle the truth. That's what he's saying here, okay? One more verse. What then? What difference does it make, you might say? What then? Notwithstanding, every way, or rather in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. As long as the word is taught, and it is the word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, as long as it isn't somebody blowing hot air for an hour while your seat gets tired, you know, and saying nothing. Teaching God's word. Why? It changes your life. It brings his blessings. And let me tell you something. Without his blessings, guess what you are? You're nothing. You're just nothing without his blessing. Oh, I mean, you'll get by, maybe. But he can make life so wonderful for you. And I thank him for that. The main thing is, what Paul is saying here, Christ is preached. Now that's important. He didn't say the way of the little church in the Dale is preached. He didn't say the great big cathedral up here on whatever and whatever is preached. He says Christ is preached. That's what's important. What is Christ? You should know he's the living word. He's the word of God. That's what you use as a governor and a yardstick in your life. And you witness to it, and you preach it, and God will bless you. Don't worry about anything else. Don't let it... You know what? All Satan likes to do is slow you down. And if you start listening to him, he might even cause you to worry, and I don't want you to let anybody see you sweat on your first cruise. I want you to show them what you got. And it sure isn't to be afraid of Satan. It's to stay in Christ's word. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go there a moment. I tell you what, when you come to Peter and Paul here, them old boys, they did some good preaching. They did. Make your heart feel good. Chapter 3, 2 Peter, verse 1. Listen carefully. This second epistle, I'm writing you the second time. First time, all right, this time more so. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Do you know what this word pure is? One very seldom ever used in the Word of God. Alacrines.
open her up and let the sunshine judge it.
Like it, lump it, whatever the case. Open her up and let the sunshine judge it. All right? That means naturally according to God's word. Got it? Okay. And again, I will stress that means legally, mentally, or spiritually. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. Don't forget them chapter by chapter, verse by verse, by the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and the commandments of us the apostles, that's the New Testament, of the Lord and Savior. His word is what matters. It's His word that needs to be preached, not man's. You know, I hate to say this, but man, I'm talking about this man or any other man. If you start hanging on to man, sometimes they can get on ego trips or they can get jealous about this, that, or the other, about who goes where or what. Don't ever play that game. Don't ever get caught up in it. It'll hurt you. You know, I guess maybe I'm spoiled in a way because I'm not hard up for students. I don't have to worry about them. Okay. Then God has given me a platform, and we work. The whole family, all of you, have worked for it. But I guess in some places they must really be hard up for students because they try to get people to follow men. And I'm not talking about any place in particular. But we can't forget about the ants, okay? They are so important. And let them work it out with God, and don't you worry about it, okay? It's the Word of God that you follow, not this man or any other man, okay? Let me ask you a question. Do you know any man that's perfect? I don't. I wish I were perfect. I'm not, you know? Just yesterday, I had to hoe my garden. It was hot. And by the time I got through, I was so sweaty. If I were an apostle, I shouldn't sweat. But I did. Do I jest? Of course. But I'm being honest. There's nobody perfect, all right? But my character will stand any test anybody wants put to it. But man, let's face it, we're not perfect like Christ was, okay? So follow His Word. That's what's important, okay? That's why He's stressing this so much. Take those scriptures, both the old prophets, He said, and the new. Open those babies up with your pure minds. That means open up your mind, let the sun shine in, and judge it. And you be careful what you think and say, all right? Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, had their own cares, their own things, doing their own kingdoms, and so on and so forth. That's promised. They're coming, all right? In more ways than one. Never let them bother you. You don't have to, all right? 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now watch how He answers this. You've heard people say, I don't know if I believe that Bible or not. Now you don't hear anybody in here say that. But I don't know if I believe that Bible or not because there's nothing ever changes. Well, hey, when the catabole took place, there was a big change. God came. And He upset apple carts to kingdom come, to kingdom come. And that's what Peter is going to use here to say, hey, don't come up with that attitude. You should have been here when the first earth age was, all right? And here he goes with it right here. 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. This is why they do it. They're absolutely ignorant of this fact that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And they would have said the same thing then if they followed Satan. It ain't going to happen. And about that time, God brought the catapult to pass, the overthrow. and down the firmament came from the heavens that protected this earth and flooded it, whereby now we had oceans instead of firmament protecting it, and mountains erupted, and the jet stream began operating, and storms took place. I mean, he shook this place up big time. And of course, naturally, he said, they're ignorant about all that. If they don't think God gets enough of it every once in a while, they better read Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. God told them then, he said, hey, I did this once before. If you don't think I'll do it again, just stick around. So what is he going to do? Peter's going to tell us here, all right? Whereby the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, that one, first earth age, being overflowed with water, perished. And beloved, this is why we can find artifacts millions of years old. Because there was a first age before this. And you get some of these Bible thumpers out here thumping about, this earth is only 6,000 years old. Do you understand that? No, I don't. That's not what my Bible says, all right? That would be listening to man's ignorance rather than the truth of God's Word. But the earth is millions of years old. And when you find artifacts, they're exciting because you do understand. And it does not make a liar out of our Father. It brings in more understanding of God's Word. And then he says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, this is for the scoffers, this heaven and earth age, eon, that is now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We're going to get rid of them. That's the ants. They're just not, you're not going to have to worry about them forever, all right? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The millennium is 1,000 years. That is the Lord's day, and it's coming. We're almost knocking on the door. So you don't let the ants bother you, okay? We're children of the kingdom. And children of the kingdom don't have to sweat it. I've read the back of the book. We got it made, okay? We got it made. And this is the most beautiful thing about your Father, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That means you may scoff and think he's put it off and think he's forgotten. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. He's got a lot of patience. And, you know, he's got a lot of children's souls that have to pass through this earth age. And we've still got souls coming through this earth age. Bless his little heart. We dedicated one today to the Lord. And if we can't have it over till they all get through, well, that wouldn't be right and it wouldn't be fair. But I feel we are getting close to that time. But God is long-suffering. That means he's got lots of patience. It doesn't bother him if somebody scoffs. That only hurts the person that's scoffing, okay? But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He hopes he doesn't have to zap anybody, but he's already zapped one, and then some of his little followers. And that is to say, he's promised he's going to. The zapping hadn't taken place. But it's going to, and he's going to rid this earth of all the troublemakers that get in the way of what? Man's word? No. The word of God. There is one thing, the eons and ages, earths and heavens, will change. That's to say, times will change. God's word will never change. It was the same yesterday, it is today, and it's going to be in the eternity. You're not wasting your time absorbing, letting open it up and letting the sunshine come in and judge your mind concerning the Word and how you follow it. It's always there, and he loves you for that. Let's back up now to 1 Corinthians. Great book of 1 Corinthians. And let's take chapter 5. There was some incest going on in the church, and Paul was a little bit upset. Not a little bit upset. He was a lot upset about it. But we're not going to go into that. But I do want to take the part where he states, you don't even have to worry about that when you take care of business. Pick it up with verse 7. I will take 6 to set the stage. Your glorying is not good, knowing know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let a little sin into the body, and it works on through. Think of it the other way. Let truth in, and it will leaveneth the whole body also. Okay, that's yeast in bread, all right? 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, we can be a sinner as we are, and we can repent, and we're clear. We're free. We're clean. We're pure because He paid that price. Christ became our Passover. His body did. It's the bread. Got it? Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know what this word sincerity is? Open it up. Let the sunshine judge it. Let the sun's rays examine it. And judge it, that it is the body of Christ, that it is leavenless, that sin is gone. Well, what do I have to do? Repent. Okay. Repentance. But there again, he uses that even down to the very bread of life. He says, open up your thoughts. The sincerity of truth. What is truth? Open up and let the sunshine judge it. Let God's Word judge it. Don't let man judge it. Okay? And let that be your answer. That's what he's saying. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're winding down here. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 8. Man, Paul's got trouble. You know, teaching God's Word, even when he was out of prison, and he got knocked around real good, okay? If you want to use that terminology, some would say real bad. Okay, but he got roughed up something that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. He said, I don't want to fool you thinking it's just a bed of roses out there planting seeds. Okay, you know, not our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. We didn't think we'd make it. Man, I mean, it was toenail to toenail. We were scratching to even survive to get out of there. But we, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. When we had to count on ourselves, it looked like we were going to die. I mean, they had us. For what reason? For teaching God's Word? It looked bad in ourselves, but don't ever let yourself do it, okay? Let's see what he says here. that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. There you go. When it looks so bad that you're just about ready to give up, then put your trust in Him. We were just forced to put it in the hands of God. We've done all we could do, and you want to make sure you always do that, all right? Make sure you stay intelligent and don't let yourself get in a position where you have physical danger. It doesn't take a real bright person to stay out of that. And then, at the same time, I'm not telling you, be prepared and don't run from trouble. Take care of business, okay? Use your head. Verse 10, listen carefully. Who delivered us, when we put our trust in Him, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, and doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He'll do it, beloved. That's His promise. You can count on it. So, what am I saying? You don't have anything to worry about. Life is sweet, okay? How sweet it is, right? And quite frankly, when you look at life in a sweet way and God is blessing you, if anything, you can feel sorry for those poor little ants. You know, it's pitiful. It truly is. When you turn that light on and watch those cockroaches run, you know, it's real easy to fix it. Go get you some cockroach hotels and put them up nicely, okay? Take care of business. Verse 11. Yea also helping together by prayer, also helping together by prayer for us. He said, we felt those prayers and we needed them. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons' thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We just really thank you for that, and prayer is a wonderful thing. I mean, they were having a pretty hard time, my friend. They thought they were going to die. They turned it over to God. God heard the prayers, and God didn't want Paul to die because He wanted you to read the rest of this Corinthians, all right? His word had to be. 12. For our rejoicing is this. This is what makes us happy. The testimony of our conscience that in simplicity, underline it, in simplicity of godly sincerity, there is your word, underline it, sincerity. Open it up. Let the sunshine judge it. Judge it by the word of God, not with fleshly wisdom. That's not how you feel about something or how some other fleshly man might feel about something. You open her up and you let the sunshine of Almighty God come in and do the judging. But by the grace of God, grace being love, by His love, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. The ways of the world, street smart, it's all right to be street smart, okay? It can save you from getting in trouble at times to know where to go and where not to go, okay? But true wisdom comes from our Father because He warns you of stuff that is unseen in guiding you and protecting you. 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledged. We're not going to put out a bunch of garbage or write some book on this subject or that subject. You've had it. We're not going to write anything else to you other than this Word of God. That's it. Open it up and let the sunshine judge it, and that's that. Amen. Okay? And I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. I trust that you will have that knowledge and will agree with it right up to the very end, because that's all there's going to be. Okay, that's it. But do you know what's beautiful about it? That's all you need. All you need is the Word of God. But allowing the sunshine to judge it, therefore letting the light of the Word be supreme, and man follow God, rather than man trying to lead God. 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, I mean, you didn't make any great big thing out of it, but in part you did, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul was kind of saying, there's a few of you there that's not all that happy with us, but he didn't apologize. That's tough if you're not, okay? And he made it very clear. Only in part did they acknowledge them. But that's all right. Have you ever seen a town you could go into and the whole town would believe the truth? I don't think so. It's always going to be in part until we clean house, until we don't clean house, until God cleans house. One more time, 2 Corinthians, here in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 2. And we're going to just take a short verse here, verse 17. Maybe we better lay a little groundwork here. When you, as a matter of fact, let's lay a little groundwork, or you're not going to have it here, okay? Let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 14. Now thanks be, this is chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Do you believe that? Thanks be to God, which causeth us to always triumph in Christ. We always win, okay? And as long as you stay in Christ, let me make that very clear. And maketh manifest the savor, that's to say, your fragrance, of his knowledge by us in every place. The knowledge of God gives a savor that goes all the way to heaven, and God loves it. He loves someone that follows him and that trusts him and obeys him rather than to try to rig up some new religion. 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor, a good fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. I mean, it's a sweet savor in either way. But that's their problem. It's your ship, you sail it. Okay? If you want to perish, hey, have a good trip. If you want to have eternal life, have a good one. Okay? It's your business. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, doom unto doom. Why do people like to talk about doom? I mean, you don't have to worry about it. You're not doomed. You've got the victory. So don't let the word of Christ be doom to you. All right? And don't follow somebody that teaches it as doom. That's doom. Okay? And to the other, the savor of life unto life. That means eternal life. And who is sufficient for these things? Qualified. You're qualified for this task when you stay in the Word, knowing that you're going to have the victory in Christ. Here's why we came here, 17. For we are not as many which corrupt. Corrupt what? God's Word. Twist it. Misuse it. Which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity. Open it up. Let it be transparent. Let the sun shine in and judge it. Not you. Let the sunshine judge it. Let darkness sweep away in the light of that sun. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He is the truth. He is the Word. There is no other. In closing, Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. You know, it's going to happen. In the beginning, God sowed the good seed. The devil came along and sowed the tares. And with these thoughts in mind about opening up and letting the sun judge, listen carefully. Verse 37, you're all familiar with it. We can just pick it up and hit the ground running here. He answered, the disciples are asking him to explain the parable. So he's not speaking in a parable here, he's explaining one whereby anybody can understand. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That is to say, he that is the Word of God. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's to say, those that make it to the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Wicked one? Wonder who that could be. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And naturally, that was Cain in the garden. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. We don't have to do it. That's why a lot of people just get ready to do some heavy lifting, and rightfully so to a degree, but there are certain things God has promised He's taking care of. You leave them alone, okay, the tares. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, this is at the end of the millennium, so shall it be at the end of this world age, eon. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Don't have a part in that. You're going to work against it. Now here's why we came here, and this completes the lecture. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, examining it, proving itself, in the kingdom of their Father, inspected by the sunlight, judgment prevailed. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear the truth, the Word of God? Or do you listen to man? It's all right to listen to man, but always document him in the Word of God. You know, you can pretty well tell if a person teaches God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and only God's Word, and allows questions, you're not going too far wrong, okay? Now, if somebody's teaching some bunch of malarkey, far out stuff, stay away from garbage, okay? Life is too short for that, and you're too intelligent for it. Stick to His Word. And so when somebody brings something by, like, I would like to share with you the reindeer people. Okay? Let's make up the reindeer people. Okay. Reindeer people. Right away, your antennae should have gone up, you know. And say, first, pardon me, show me that in God's Word. Well, it ain't there. Well, then I don't have time to listen to it. Right? So, listen to God's Word. Open it up. Don't be ashamed to open the book and let the sun shine in. Okay. And judge it by what? By the Word of God. Not man. I wish I could say that man really amounts to something. And I guess in God's eyes we do, but sometimes He must get real impatient with us. Lordy, lordy. You know, because man has a hard time steering the course. You know, we kind of, what do I see over there? And pretty soon you're on the rocks. Get distracted. Don't, all right? I love you all. Judgment by the sunlight. Alacrines in the Greek tongue. It's a beautiful word. And sincerely and pure. It will keep you that way. Don't ever forget that Greek word if you can help it, or at least memorize it in English. Judgment by sunlight. Okay. And it will strengthen you. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the Son of Truth, Your light, Father, that helps us discern to discern that we should partake of and that we should not. Father, may these always be a blessing to those they come in contact with. May we always preach Your Word open to that light. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Free in the Hebrew.